You're listening to Red Eye on Co-op Radio at CFRO 102.7 FM.
Ron Rivera was best known for developing an inexpensive ceramic water filter to cleanse polluted water for manufacture and use in impoverished communities around the world. 5,000 children die each day due to unsanitary water, and Ron Rivera's work with Potters for Peace made a real difference for survival of uncounted numbers of rural poor people. Working in Nigeria this fall, Ron Rivera contracted a deadly malaria infection, and he died September 8th in Managua, Nicaragua, where he was living. We have reached Bert Cohn, a friend and co-worker with Ron Rivera, to speak about Ron's work and contributions. When Bert is not working in places like Senegal, he lives in the BC Okanagan, where we've reached him this morning. Good morning, Bert, and welcome to Vancouver Cooperative Radio.
Thank you very much, Mordecai. I really enjoy the opportunity to, you know, talk a little bit about Ron and the work that he's been doing all of these years.
Well, let me extend my sympathy on the tragic death of Ron, your friend and your co-worker. Maybe you could tell us a bit about the passion and the vision that inspired him in his work in many continents, Latin America, Africa, and Asia.
Ron was really incredible. He was able to take some of his experiences. He had been working as a ceramic consultant for a number of years, and he had developed an expertise working with a Guatemalan chemist by the name of Fernando Marzillego, who had first supposed that one could take what were proprietary processes for making ceramic water filters and turn them into an open source technology. And Ron, working with him, had experiences with some other ceramic processes that he thought would be able to take that technology and turn it from a fairly simple technology without making it more complicated, but to take it into a more reproducible technology by using a set of aluminum molds that he had seen being used to make ceramic flower pots. So he took his experience and he started to bring a cadre of people who had the expertise in things like microbiology and mechanical engineering, and he brought us all together to make this technology reproducible and exportable.
I had read something on a website he'd written where he referred to his what he passionately wanted to happen was a significant structural change. Excuse me, change in society where justice is before peace and where people are worth more than profit. Does that sort of ring with the Ron Rivera you knew?
Oh yes. Ron was very dedicated. He had been a sociologist. He had incredible skills at being able to work in community development. He had extensive experience working in Latin America. He had lived for many years in Nicaragua. He had very strong understandings of the problem of development in communities at communities at risk in many communities, and his expertise and his desire to work with this technology gained him a tremendous amount of not only respect but interest on the parts of communities that were at risk. Excuse me, I've got a frog in my throat. And what happened was that he used the internet to publicize the work that we were doing with Potters for Peace, and that garnered a tremendous amount of attention.
Now, the technology, the filter itself, you said he worked on to make it open sourced and so that it could be widely available. Could you just briefly describe what that simple technology, how it's done?
Sure. Sure. The ceramic water filters are based on locally available raw surface clays. And basically, all we need is a clay that has enough plasticity to form the filter. We mix clay and a combustible, usually sawdust, into we first dry mix it, then we add a pre-measured amount of water and make a plastic clay body. That is put in between two aluminum molds that are pressed under about 15, 16 tons of pressure using a very simple mechanical press. Or it could be a hydraulic press if the factory has a sustainable source of power. But that form casts the filters. The filters are then fired in a kiln that we usually produce on site, which can use any kind of fuel source from wood to agricultural waste. Then the finished filters emerge from the kiln. They're immersed in water for a day, and then they're flow tested to make sure that the water flows through them at the correct rate. Once that flow rate is done, the filters that are correct are then immersed into a bath of colloidal silver. They take on about the equivalent of about 10 cents worth of colloidal silver. Then the filters are dried out. They're put into a plastic bucket, which has a spigot on it. The end user pours water, marginal water, in the top. The water migrates through the filter, and they get potable water out the bottom. So the significance of this technology is that once the filters are, they're called point-of-use filters, once they're in individuals' homes, they require very little backup at that point. Essentially, the family only has to rinse out the filter once a month, but they don't require electricity. And they produce excellent potable water. And when I say that, I'm talking about water that is plus 99% free of bacteria. And so in terms of household water treatment technologies, that is one of the reasons why pot filters have had such an impact in communities that are at risk.
I've drunk water from that kind of filter system in Nicaragua, and I can attest to its clarity and healthiness for sure. So its features are simplicity, local products, except for the tiny amount of colloidal silver, inexpensive, and people can be very self-reliant in the production of it. Now, part of the objective, I think, was to establish a kind of manufacturing center that could then disperse these filters across to more remote areas. How successful was that in being achieved?
Well, we have about 31 factories up and running right now. Ron's real expertise was in combining his history, or I should say his knowledge of sociology, planning, and development with his ceramic expertise. And what he was able to do was to develop a franchise model so that the two organizations respond to requests from non-governmental organizations, from governments, and from private individuals who have a desire to produce filters that are focused at the at-risk community, which are people who have an income that is less than $400 a year. So that's really what has given this technology legs. Plus, Ron used his contacts around the world to cause studies and publications, field studies on the filters. And what that's done is that has enfranchised the technology by explaining not only what the technology is, but why it works. And if it wasn't for that, I think that we'd still be really struggling to publicize and to expand the technology. But the combination of the fact that the technology works and explaining and causing the research to be done on the filters is what has had that, you know, significant increase in the popularity of pod filters.
So this is a wonderful example of combining sophisticated urban university research with rural local human capacities to solve a widespread problem that we gave more resources to, could be eliminate all the polluted water that kills particularly children and elderly and vulnerable people.
Well, if I would say one thing is that the World Health Organization has identified the needs of, they caused studies to be done in all of the individual nations of the world to give us a benchmark as to what percentage of the nation's populations did not have access to clean water. And they said that by the year 2015, under the Millennium Development Goals, that they wanted to halve the number of people who didn't have access to clean water. What Ron did was to look at that. He had a tremendous experience working in developing communities, and he understood what it would take to be able to expand the technology. He was not shy. He very much, I think what he would say was that he surrounded himself with people who he felt would be useful, and those people brought their intelligence to bear and combined it with Ron's successes to, you know, to expand the technology and to give it real impact in these communities that are at risk.
Well, thank you very much, Bert, for speaking with us this morning and giving us an insight into both Ron's achievements and contributions and also the whole project that you carry forward. I'll give at the end of this a link where people can get to both Potters Without Borders and Potters for Peace, the two organizations you and Ron were involved in creating. And thank you very much for your work above all, and good luck on your upcoming visit to work in Senegal.
Great. Thank you so much for your time.
Bye-bye.
Bye-bye.
I've been speaking with Bert Cohen. He's with Potters Without Borders. And if you want more information on that organization, their projects, as well as Potters for Peace, check the website of Red Eye, and there are links provided there. And Red Eye's website address is corpradio.org/redeye.